Good morning. I want to, before I jump into the message this morning, I want to just pause and acknowledge that this last week has been an incredibly difficult week for this area, particularly Chippewa Falls, and what has transpired with the death of Lily Peters. So what I want to like to do before we get started this morning is just take a moment, if we would all just bow our heads. We'll have a little bit of time for silence so you can pray, and then I'll pray for her, the family, and this situation. Father, we're stunned. Our city, our area doesn't know what to do with something like this, Lord. There's fear, there's anger, there's frustration, there's hurt. But what I do know is that you are the God of peace, and that you provide a peace that the Bible says passes all understanding, and we need that peace now. This city needs that peace now, and the family of Lily Peters needs that peace now. Father, we pray that you would reach down into the very souls and hearts of family and friends that were impacted by this tragic loss, and we ask that you would bring healing that only you are capable of bringing, Lord. We surrender all of our feelings to you and ask for you to guide our hearts. Give us the power to overcome, the power to be in prayer, the power to lift up our community, and let your peace reign in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing on a two-part series that Pastor Paul started last week called Trusted. The main idea behind this series is that we need to understand that everything that we have, our time, our talents, our treasures, our children, our families, even the breath that we breathe was given to us. And rather than seeing ourselves as owners of those things, we need to see ourselves as stewards of those things. I have a beautiful family. My wife, Jennifer, right now is down serving in the kids area with my daughter. I have four wonderful children, two adult children, one boy that's in high school at Altoona, and like I said, my little girl who's in middle school serving with her mama right now. And I believe that I am called to be a good steward of my children. Unfortunately, that's not always how it goes. I'm not always a good steward of my responsibility as parent. In fact, I want to open this morning with telling you a story of one such time, unfortunately, only a couple of weeks ago. Now, before I tell you this story, I need to note that a few years back, about 8 years ago, I was trained to be a facilitator of a parenting class called Love and Logic. So I'm supposed to apparently know what I'm talking about. It doesn't always work out that way. As you know, we're human and we make mistakes. So about 2 weeks ago, we were getting ready for school, and the morning wasn't going particularly well. Everything was a little bit behind that day. And it's imperative to our family, to the two younger children, the high school student, the freshman, and the sixth grade girl, that we get out of the parking or our neighborhood by about 8:04 at the very, very latest in order to make it to school on time. Now, Altoona's high school and middle school are connected, so I drop my oldest, or my third son at the high school and my daughter at the middle school, and we have to roll out by 8:04. It takes about 8 minutes from our house if everything goes well and God parts the Red Sea for us, meaning all the red lights. And then eventually we'll arrive and they'll both have enough time to get to class. Well, this particular morning, it was already about 8:03, 8:04, and Autumn and I were ready to go. But my freshman in high school son was not ready. So we said, Caden, we'll meet you downstairs, but you've got to hurry. So we head down to the car, and we're in the car about 8:04, 8:05, and I am starting to move from slightly stressed to very stressed. And then that stress moves to frustration, and by 8:10, I was in full-blown anger because he had still not shown himself. Now, let me tell you a little something about Caden. I love that child. Most of the time. No, all the time. Love him all the time. Yeah, all the time. But he doesn't do anything quickly ever. That kid's not dying of a heart attack. There's just no stress in him. So he just moves at a snail's pace in life. And when he finally came walking, I mean walking slower than anyone I've ever seen walk before, out the garage towards the car, at this point, I am boiling over and steam is now pouring out of my head. And it's easy to see when you're bald. What I would love to tell you is that in that moment, I snapped into my love and logic facilitator and went, I'm going to handle this. It's all going to be good. You're not going to be a bad parent in this moment. You're going to steward this child responsibly. Instead, I spent the next 8 minutes belittling the kid and shaming him all the way to school. And I'm not proud of that. By the time we got to school and he got out of the car, immediately guilt started to come over me. Even my little girl goes, Dad, that's kind of harsh. I later texted him an apology, and then when he got home that night, I asked his forgiveness again. See, love and logic teaches that mistakes are actually kind of a good thing that help our children learn to be functioning adults. So we want to let them make those mistakes, and we don't want to run them down for those mistakes. In fact, as they make those mistakes, we lock those mistakes into their learning pattern with empathy, not shame. What I should have actually done, according to love and logic, is at 8:04, I should have drove away. Seriously. That may sound like a bad parenting, but it actually was the best thing I could have done for him. Drove away, dropped my daughter off, went to work. And then he would have sat around the house wondering what he was supposed to do. And then the next day, when he went to school, and the teachers were like, where were you yesterday? Do you have an excuse? He'd go, nope, no excuse. And then there would be natural consequences that he would have to face. And when he got home and said, Dad, I've got detention tomorrow because you didn't take me to school. I said, oh, son, I did try. I was available at 8:04, like I will be every day. I'm so sorry you weren't there to get into the truck, but I'll be there tomorrow. Love you. Sincere sympathy. But in that moment, it gives him an opportunity to move towards adulthood. My responsibility as a father is not to beat him down and keep him a child. It's actually to empower him to become an adult. If I'm stewarding him well, I'm going to let these small mistakes, locked in with empathy, help him become a better man. Unfortunately, this is not the only area of my life where I have not always stewarded things well, especially as a younger adult, when I was first getting started in ministry and first married and first parenting, I've made plenty of mistakes. Early on, I was addicted to the stupid Xbox, and I would play that thing for hours, ignoring my responsibility as a father and as a husband, not stewarding those relationships well. Other times, it was using credit card to pay for things I wanted now and wasn't willing to wait for, getting us in debt and not stewarding the treasures that God had allowed me to have on this planet. Sometimes it was just not stewarding my time well, not taking care of projects that needed to be done now, but actually waiting and procrastinating until either it was too late to get them done or whatever little time I had, I put together something that was subpar. Now, as you sit here this morning, I'm guessing you can think of times in your life where you have fallen short in stewarding those things that God has given you. Those things that, like your time, your talent, your treasure, your family, and even the breath that you breathe, that yes, indeed, came from God. Today we're going to talk about what it means to have a kingdom legacy, what it means to be responsible. The big idea I want us to get this morning is this, that to be a trusted steward means that we must take seriously our responsibility and legacy. And when I talk about legacy, I'm talking about our kingdom legacy. So my question is this morning, as you think through the areas that maybe you've messed up, that you haven't stewarded well, maybe it's a project at work that you've taken for granted or you wasted time on and now you've got to turn in something subpar, or maybe it's a time where you didn't steward your relationship with your children well like I described, or maybe it was your spouse, or maybe it's your finances, maybe you've let debt get so out of control you don't even know where to start today. Whatever it might be, whether it's our time, talent, or treasures, you feel like, man, I just screwed up too far. What do I do now? And you've let those things get out of balance. Well, what I want to do today is turn to a parable that Jesus taught. Interestingly enough, if you want to turn to your Bibles, Matthew 25, 14 through 30, interesting thing about this is previous in chapter 24, he's really kind of talking about end times. We just got through a series on Revelation, and immediately after talking a little bit about what the end would be like, he decides to tell this story. He decides to help people that are listening understand why it's important to steward those things that God has given us well, to be responsible and to have a kingdom mindset. So starting in verse 14, he says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had made 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 more. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away and cast into the worthless, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." A couple of observations I want to make about this passage this morning. First, foremost, we are stewards entrusted with time, talent, and treasure. Seems pretty obvious, right? But God has given you all of this. And here's the biggest difference I see between a steward and someone who thinks they're an owner. An owner is closed fist with everything. Someone who believes all of this is mine, I earned it, it's mine. They're closed fist. They're unwilling to share. They're unwilling to use their gifts, abilities to help other people, to advance God's kingdom, they keep it to themselves. Or they're afraid that they're gonna lose it. Instead of living as people with open hands, saying, this doesn't belong to me in the first place, so why am I trying to hold on so tightly to it? Even my frustration with my son, where I'm shaming him, is about me trying to hold on to him and control him for myself rather than help him become the adult that I have been made responsible for by the Lord. Second observation, this: as a result of being stewards, much is expected of us. Perhaps you remember the old Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. With great power comes great responsibility. This is true. God has given each of us many gifts, abilities, passions, strengths, and he has a purpose for those in our lives. God has entrusted me at Jacob's Well to be the formations pastor, which means I am going to be someday before him, be held responsible for what I've done in this role to help point your eyes and your hearts towards Jesus. And I take that responsibility very seriously. Because I do believe that God has given me specific gifts and abilities in order to accomplish that with his power and his strength, if I will live like this and not like this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 10, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. What is the requirement of all of this responsibility, strength, power, influence, finances, parenting, all? What is the responsibility? It's to be found faithful. So that one day when I enter into heaven, God looks at me and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy the love and glory of the Father. Third observation I want us to get from this is that we should treat our stewardship with faith, not fear. It means we need to be bold. Now, there is a major difference between being bold and being reckless. Please hear the difference. In fact, I've got a story to tell you to prove this. When I was about 17, 18 years old, my parents gave me a little beat-up Nissan Sentra. It wasn't much, but it was a car, which meant freedom. And I loved finally having my own vehicle. I didn't have to share a vehicle with my father anymore. So whenever I wanted to go somewhere, I could go somewhere. And he entrusted me with that responsibility. And I moved, unfortunately with that responsibility, I moved from bold to just plain stupid. One particular day, I was coming back from school and I had a buddy of mine in my car. And he lived up on a hill not far from where I lived. But it was a pretty steep hill. Now, where I'm from in this Eugene, Springfield, Oregon area, go Ducks, we don't get snow much. There's no plows. There's no salting trucks. None of that. I had no idea what ice was like until I slipped and hit my head on a Minnesota pond years later, okay? It just wasn't very often that happened. And if we got an inch or two, schools shut down for a decade. Well, this particular day, we got about 2 inches of snow. And there was no one doing anything about it because we couldn't. So I'm taking this friend home. And as I'm trying to get him up the hill, I realize this little Nissan Sentra has no power. It is gutless. Thank you, four cylinders. So I'm trying to get up this hill, and I'm just sliding. I'm starting to go backwards. I'm like, this is crazy. There's got to be a way to get you up there. He's like, you know, my buddy goes, I can just get out and walk here. It's fine. It's not that far up there. No. I'm getting you to your house. Because with great power comes great responsibility. So I had this brilliant idea. There's a side street. So if I go on the side street, and I get enough speed, and take the corner. All of you Wisconsin, Minnesota people are like, how could we hire such an idiot? So I got speed, went to take the corner, but as I turned the steering wheel, the car didn't turn. And I slid across the road and smacked into a truck. But I slept into his bumper, basically, and it left a scratch about this big. But I didn't know what I had done. I just known what I had done was not good. So what I did was a responsible thing. I got out of my, I got in my car and I ran. I tried to drive away. Hit and run, yep, I'm guilty. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. So I back up really quick and I'm like, forget my buddy getting home. I went, started down the hill as fast as I could on the snow and ice. And I got about halfway down the hill and realized I need to start applying the brakes. But surely the car will stop like it always does, right? No. I slid and slammed in to the curb. And it pushed the tire all the way back to the back wall. And at the same time, my buddy, who had thought he was getting out of the car soon, had undone his seatbelt, smacked his head against the windshield, and cracked it. Couldn't he have been more considerate of my windshield? Seriously. He laughs, bleeding, and says, I'll walk from here. Gets out of the car, walks up the hill, and I'm in a full foam bowl of panic now. I'm trying to drive this car that keeps wanting to pull for some reason to the left all the way home. I hear scraping going on. I get home, I park it in the driveway, and I run to my room and just act like nothing happened. Surely it'll take my dad days to figure this out. In the meantime, I will figure out a plan for fixing this mistake. About 10 minutes later, my dad walks in and goes, Brian, what did you do to the car? Needless to say, that's where I learned what shaming looks like. Just because we're to be bold doesn't mean we're to be reckless. We have a responsibility to the things that God has given us to shepherd and steer and steward them well. Whether it's my kids, shepherding them, or whether it's stewarding the finances God's given me, I am to be responsible with them, not foolish. But I'm to be bold because they don't belong to me, they belong to the Master, and He always does things big. And He wants to do big and beautiful things in you, through your gifts and abilities, through your children, through your finances, through every aspect of your life. The next observation is that boldness and stewardship will likely lead to even more being entrusted to you. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get rich. Please write that down in your notes and be clear. If you go back to Pastor Paul and say, Brian said we're gonna get rich, I will say lies. Go back to the video where I said that doesn't mean you're gonna get rich. Now, here's the reality. As you are faithful with the little that God has given you, I do believe He'll give you more. But sometimes that more is in more responsibility, or that He'll trust you with more influence or more power. Sometimes it's more finances because you've shown yourself faithful. But He wants to do even more in and through you as you boldly live for the kingdom, as you take your responsibility as stewards seriously. And you take the responsibility for living a kingdom legacy seriously, He wants to do even more in and through your life. Question that I want us to think about today is, are you being responsible with all that has been entrusted to you? Matthew 6 says it this way, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. The very treasures that we earn in heaven are based on how we steward what God has entrusted to us on this planet. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with trusting God for your finances? How are you doing with shepherding your children? How are you doing with stewarding the influence that you have about the people that God's put around you? Can you do better? I'm guessing all of us can and should say yes. because it's a matter of living our lives more and more with open hands. So God can put more in and he can take more out if he needs to. When we understand that as stewards and we live with our hands wide open, God who gives can take it away and use it for something else and then give us something new to do something new with. When we start to understand that none of this is ours, what's the old saying? You never see a Brinks truck behind a Hertz, right? You can't take it with you. It's the same thing is true with your time and responsibilities to your family. It's gotta happen now while you're on this earth. You gotta be responsible with that. You're not gonna get time back. I wish that I could get back hours and hours that I lost playing a stupid video game so I could have played that same video game maybe with my kids or went outside and taught them to throw a football. But I wasted, I did that, but I didn't do it as much as I could have done it because I was a poor shepherd of my time as an early parent and as an early adult. Now there's another area to this that I want us to think about. And this may not occur to you, but one of the things I've been studying is something called emotionally healthy discipleship. And we're gonna be offering a class this fall called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. One of the things they challenge you to do in that class is to even understand how you can steward your pain, your losses, your hurts. Even those need to be stewarded well. There's things that can be gained from understanding that. To give you one just quick story, we have Joseph in the Bible, right? His own brother sold him into slavery. He had this miserable life. Things just got worse. He gets sold into slavery, sent to Egypt. He goes there to serve one of the key officials, but then that doesn't go well because the official's wife claims something happened that didn't happen, so he gets thrown in jail. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. But that entire time, in all of that pain and hurt, Joseph stayed faithful to the Lord. He took whatever influence, whatever power he had, and he used it for the glory of God. And God kept giving him more responsibility. Even in jail, riding away in jail, God gave him more responsibility because he was faithful through the pain. He saw the pain as an opportunity for God to still use for other purposes. And so this is, moving forward, it's not there. I might have knocked it out. Oh no, there it is. Just gotta learn how to use a remote. Anyway, so he finally gets reunited with his brothers. Joseph does, and his brothers are, they think he's dead. But there's a huge famine, they're forced to go to Egypt and beg for help. And when they get there, they discover that their brother's been put second in command. Because again, he was faithful through the hurt. And God just kept giving him more and more responsibility. So now he's in this position to save them, even after what they've done. And they're convinced that once their father dies, that Joseph is gonna have them taken out. And quite honestly, I think most of us probably would have. But that's not where Joseph's heart was. He had stewarded pain well. And so when they asked him, and they were honest about their worries, he said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." He saw all that pain as an opportunity to help others. How are you stewarding your pain? As you walk through it, are you clinging to it? Or are you letting it go? Because see, as we let it go and we live open-handed, then we get opportunities to use, God can use us then to help other people that are going through the same pain. And he can give us more responsibility, more influence into the lives of other people if we will steward even our pain well. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" It's the idea when we live like this, no matter how little we have, we give it to God. God's grace covers everything else. Maybe you've known for a long time that you should be more bold about talking to a neighbor or a coworker about Jesus, but you've been so afraid to because you're not sure your words will be good enough. I promise you that God's grace is sufficient for that. Whatever shortcomings you think you have, if you will step out in boldness and steward what he has given you well, God will do more in and through you. What I think is beautiful is this church is already doing so many wonderful things, but I see a world where if we can get even more of us, all of us, every day getting better and better at living like this, how much more can God do to reach this next generation, to advance his kingdom, to do incredible, powerful things in and amongst us in this city and the surrounding communities and around the world. I believe that there's no limit to the awesomeness that can happen when God's people, when we decide to understand that none of this belongs to me. Even my breath is a gift from God intended to be tithed back to him in something we call worship. When I understand that, and when I live like that, and when we live like that together, there's no limit to what God can do in and through us, and no limit to the amount of impact we can have on this world. Now, what I want to give you as we close are some next steps. This next week, now it's escaping me, Monday or Tuesday, anybody that knows? Is it Tuesday? It's bad that I don't know. Is it Tuesday? Somebody, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, thank you. At what time?
6:30.
Glad there's somebody who knows what's going on. Tuesday at 6:30, we are having an event called the Plan Your Life event. The entire purpose of that is to help you understand how to be a better steward of all the resources God has given you. If you are in your 20s and 30s, you should be big time thinking about going to this event to plan for your future. It's going to teach you ways to be a better steward with your finances, how to use those for God's glory and to make sure that you've got everything in line for your family. If you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, you should be at this event. If you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, guess where you should be? At this event. Because what it's going to do is ultimately help you to become a better steward of the resources that God has given you, plan for your future. There's going to be things there like learning how to write a will so that if God forbid something happens to you, that your family's taken care of. Another thing we want to make you aware of, oh, here, hey, look at that. There's actually a slide. Save the date. Whoever that was in the front row, good job, you nailed it. Too bad the guy on the stage doesn't know. This event, coming this Tuesday, don't miss it. Next, I would challenge you, especially if you've not been a great steward with your financial resources, to commit to taking the Dave Ramsey course, Financial Peace University, which I do know about, will be offered this fall on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a great way to figure out how to get the finances God's entrusted you in order. Number three, look to use your talents for God's glory. There's all kinds of needs, even in this church, but also in our community. So sign up to be a volunteer. Figure out how to take the way that God has gifted you and use it for God's kingdom. If you're not sure how to do that, that is the entire purpose of the First Steps class that we offer here that just started this week. And if you want, you can jump on it on week two, which happens 2 weeks from today. And next, maybe you've never taken the step of giving before. I want to challenge you to do that. Learn to give. Learn to give. Start out small and then eventually grow into a tithe. A tithe is simply 10% of your income. But I think that's true across the board in every aspect. Learn to give of your time, talents, and treasures, all of them. Start slow and then continue to give more as you can. And then finally, I want to challenge you to be in prayer for Ukraine. We're going to watch a video here at the close of this service that's going to tell us a little bit more. But out in the foyer, the lady that's going to talk on this video, Dr. Yulia, Yulia, thank you. Yulia Parapolitsa? Yulia. Yeah, I'm horrible. She'll be here. She's going to do a better job telling your name than I'm going to be. And she's selling T-shirts in the foyer that are going to be that are being used to help benefit Ukraine. Yulia has been part of this church for a while now, but she's from a church in Minneapolis that has a bunch of different churches, people from Ukraine that are part of it. And that church is kind of acting as a central hub for helping out churches that are having different kinds of needs in Ukraine. And one of the things they recently did was a fundraiser with those T-shirts. So all proceeds of those T-shirts will go back to that church, who will then distribute them specifically where they're needed in Ukraine to help the churches that are struggling during this time. So please think about praying for Ukraine. Think about tithing and stewarding your time for prayers for Ukraine. There's also a website that we have, jacobswellchurch.church/Ukraine. There's all kinds of ways to pray in there, and there will be things in the future for how you can serve and help. So please be paying attention to that. Let me pray. Father, as we think about all that you've given us, all that you've entrusted to us, all that you've empowered to us, we ask, Lord, that you would help us be faithful, that you would help us live boldly, that you would help us to trust you in all aspects of our life, to not hold tightly to those things, but to live with open hands so that you can use us for your glory. Help us to be better stewards of our family, of the finances you've entrusted with us, and of our times and our talents. Help us to live as people who are on fire for your kingdom. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.